Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When I was little, I noticed later on that we did not entertain at all. And it wasn't that my parents were not hospitable. They were very hospitable people. They were marvelous cooks. It was that my brothers were savages. I'm firmly convinced that's why we never entertained when I was young. I remember sitting around the table. There were five children, two adults, and I would literally take my hands and guard my food, so that my savage brothers would not steal food out of my plate, especially dessert. I was so grateful when they grew up and got civilized women and convinced them to marry them, and they in turn civilized them. I remember asking my brother, "How come you're so different?" He said, because his newlywed wife would walk behind him yelling at him. And he figured if he wanted to stay married, he didn't want to be shrieked at for the rest of his mortal days. So he got civilized. But after they left the house, they were all older than my sister and myself, my parents started to entertain. And so they had to train us in the proper use of hospitality, how you treat your guests. And one of the things they said was the TV goes off the minute there are guests in our home. The house would be scrubbed from stem to stern, and we were instructed to greet our guests, to put the coats away, and then around the table, not to eat like savages. And so we picked at our food, and we were very dainty and polite. And our guests were always so amazed that my sister and I, without asking, would jump up from the table, remove all the plates, and take care of everything in the kitchen. What they didn't know was we dove at the leftovers, because we knew nobody would go in the kitchen, and we could really pig out there. But everyone thought we were such delightful children, and we let them believe that. There are rules for hospitality, aren't there? Imagine inviting someone to your home, and when they come in, you're sitting in front of the TV, and you say, okay, yeah, help yourself. There's the refrigerator. Go in and have at it. Any self-respecting guest might leave at that point. We only reserve the rudeness for our families, not for special guests. But in this story today, the person who invited Jesus was incredibly rude for that culture. It was expected in the Middle Eastern culture that when you walked into a room, you would be greeted with a kiss. That was, they didn't shake hands, they kissed. We might hug today, but they kissed. They kissed on the cheek. They would be greeted with a basin of water for their feet because their feet would be hot and dusty and full of sand. And if they were people of wealth, of station, they would have a servant kneel down and bathe the person's feet. But at the very least, there would be something provided for the person that comes into your home. They would also have oil to anoint one's head. That was considered a function of honor. None of those niceties were done. And this was a man who knew better. Simon was a religious leader. He was a man of position. He knew the courtesies, and he gave none of them to Jesus. And to give no courtesies meant to humiliate. But there was a woman who somehow got in the room. Now, of course, in those days, they didn't have locked doors. And so this woman, I guess there was a crowd there, so she happened in and she saw that scene. Jesus even seating himself, which was another no-no. You usually sat your guests. He just sat at the table and she saw this incredible breach of etiquette. And this was a woman who was known for her ill repute. But when she saw the humiliation of Jesus, she knelt down, and it said she cried. She was sobbing so much that her tears were bathing his feet. Now, she couldn't ask for a towel because nobody would bother with her at all. So she took the veil off her hair and let her long hair down, which was another no-no. Women had to keep their heads covered. And she wiped his feet with her hair. And then anointed his feet, did all the courtesies, and Simon, who should by this time be ashamed of himself, looked down and thought, huh, some prophet he is. He doesn't even know the reputation of this woman. And then Jesus spoke to him and said, Simon, I have something to ask you. I'm going to tell you a story. There were two people that owed money. One didn't owe so much, one owed a lot, but neither of them could pay. And the man forgave the debts of both. Who would love more? And Simon said, well, the person who owed a lot. And then he called him out on his rudeness, said, you know, you didn't even give me anything for my feet, and this woman has bathed my feet in her tears. You gave me no kiss, but the woman is kissing my feet. You gave me no oil, and she has anointed my feet. What a picture of love's extravagance. Neither could pay. So often we think that the only reason the gospel is around is for dirty, rotten sinners. You know, for people who are really the dregs of society. But all of us, we really don't need God. We have what we want. And Jesus reminds us that whether we owe a lot or a little, we can't pay. And his love is poured out. And I think of that woman and how she took care of Jesus. Then the story goes on. After he left that place, he went around preaching. And there were other women. Remember the story, how there were women who he had cured. There was Mary Magdalene. Now, often Mary is considered a woman of ill repute, and someone said she wasn't bad, she was mad. She had demons, and he had cured her of evil spirits. There was Joanna, the wife of Herod's steward, Chuza. Now, you can imagine, every time Joanna came home, Chuza probably sighed and said, how much do you need now? Because they provided for Jesus out of their resources. Everywhere he went, there were this group of women that took care of the resources, took care of the needs. That's hospitality. And we can't live without that kind of hospitality. They demonstrated that they wanted to take care of the needs of Jesus. I think of one lady from my last church who loved people so much that anyone who came to her, she would give. And she told me her story, why that was. When she was married, she married someone who was very abusive. And she had a child. And when the child was 6 years old, this man picked her up and threw her against a wall, the little one. She said, you know, I could handle when he was battering me, but not my girl. So I left with that little girl. And the little girl, as an adult, recalled to me that there were times that her mother would not eat because she had to feed her child. Both sets of parents, the grandparents, abandoned the family. And so she struggled. And when she married a wonderful man and she had a job, she never forgot the struggle. So anyone who needed help would come into her home and receive it. One time, they housed an entire family of 8 people. Hubby said one time to me that anytime he got a raise, he didn't tell his wife because he knew it would be spent. But that's hospitality. We love, we're constrained to give, not because we have to, but because of Christ's love for us. And I think of the opportunity we have with the international students who are coming, the kind of love that they need. I think of that prostitute that took care of Jesus' feet, had nothing, not even a towel to wipe his feet with, so she used her hair. It doesn't matter whether we have a lot or a little. We're constrained by love to take care of the people of God. The women in that day had tangible ways to take care of Jesus. So how do we take care of Jesus now? Jesus is not here physically for us to take care of. The way we take care of him is to take care of his people. And whenever we see somebody in need, whenever we see somebody who needs friendship, that's Jesus. Mother Teresa said that all the people that she dealt with were Jesus in distressing disguise. This is our gift of hospitality, the gift to bring people in and love them as if we were taking care of Jesus. May this summer, as we're so busy with so many things that happen in Door County over the summertime, we're tourism on steroids here in the summertime. And all the activity happens. People sometimes ask, what do you people do after the summer? And someone said, we rest. So summertime is very busy and very active. But Jesus still needs help. He needs help in the form of those students. He needs help in form of tourists who might come here so fried from their lives that they need something to lift them up. Will we take care of Jesus this summer? Let us pray. For mercy so great, what return can I make? For mercy so constant and sure, I'll love him, I'll serve him with all that I am, as long as my life shall endure. Lord, we ask that you would help us to love and serve you by embracing your children. In Jesus' name, amen.